Just before this portion of scripture that Joan read this morning, we have this story of two sisters, Mary, the sister who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he said. And there was Martha, distracted by her many tasks. And as I was looking at this scripture, and as I was wrestling with this in my heart, and it's been a journey of about 2-3 weeks that I've been working with this, Abe Funk, actually, who's coming this next weekend, really wanted us to focus on praying for him coming. And I thought, oh, I'm speaking today. It's a good chance to call everybody to do that. And as I was wrestling with this, I read these verses 38 through 41. And I saw the sister Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what he said. And I read about the sister Martha, who was distracted by her many things and tasks. Worried and upset, Jesus says, about many things. And then he says this, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice. And I ask, the right choice? My brothers, John and Gordon, often said to me, you're so lazy, you just sit around all day thinking and dreaming and playing with your poetry and stuff. There's work to do, chores to do. And I thought to myself, It's much nicer sitting and looking at the clouds and at the beauty that God has made and going up on the hill and picking some. Have you ever seen a shooting star? We had these little purple flowers. They were only about that tall, and they grew on our hillside. And the flower itself was kind of like a little pointed purple flower with a yellow button nose right on the end of the point. I don't know if that's the right name. We called them shooting stars. They were beautiful. And you could eat them and they tasted like honey. And I'd much sooner do that than feed the pigs. The right choice? What about the responsibilities and the obligations and being the host and ministry and service? You know, Jesus doesn't say that those things are wrong. He doesn't say we shouldn't be doing those things. But he does suggest that being present with him is the priority. Being present with God. It's a good place to be. It's a place of welcome. It's really a desirable place to be. In the old hymn book, I think it's in this blue one as well, but in the old hymn book, there was a hymn, and I just love that hymn. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. And I just love that hymn. And there's only one thing I've requested for when I get buried is that they sing that hymn. I just love it. A place of quiet rest, a peaceful place, a good place to be. Quiet, peaceful, restful, away from the turmoil, away from the distraction of the many tasks. A good place to be. Do you have a place like that? I remember when we lived on Vancouver Island, and some days it was pretty stressful, and I'd jump in the old Pontiac after the kids were in bed. And June was there with him in the house, and I'd jump in the Pontiac and I'd drive down to the ocean and I'd park, and it was just me and the water rolling up on the beach. And it was so quiet. And it's like all of the frustrations and the cares and everything else just kind of was grabbed by the waves when they came in and taken away. It's a good place to be, and that's being present with Jesus. It's a place of welcome, a place where we're appreciated. Do you know that God, the great God, the creator of the heaven and the universe, likes it when you come and sit at his feet? He appreciates you there. He would love nothing better than that you come and sit with him. This great God, the creator, the person Anselin said, greater than anything we can imagine. That great God loves it when we come and sit at his feet. And he gives us a welcome. Not because of who we are or because of what we do, but because we come there. And he stands there, and like we heard this morning, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A place where we can be present with Jesus. It's a desirable place to be. It feels good. I've known a few people in my life that when I get together with them, it feels good. And why is that? It's because when I get together with those people, they treat me as the most important person on earth. That kind of feels good. And that's a place where it really looks good. Well, here are these disciples, and they see Jesus praying. And when he's finished praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And you know what? I believe that disciple got it. He realized that there is something special about being in the presence of Jesus. Something special about being in the presence, in that place with God. You know, they saw Jesus in the house with Mary and Martha. And they saw Jesus sitting in the presence of Mary at his feet. And they heard his conversation with Martha. They've seen Jesus in prayer with his father and noticed certain similarities. Mary in the presence of Jesus, Jesus in the presence of his father. There's something special here. And they also noticed John's disciples having that kind of special connection. And they knew that John had taught his disciples about prayer and how to come into that place with Jesus. And so they say, Lord, we want to be included in that wonderful communion, that kind of fellowship. We don't really know how to do that. Teach us. And so Jesus teaches them like John did his disciples. And he outlines three aspects in this prayer about talking to God. And first he suggests, be aware of whose presence you are entering when you pray. Our Father. That's who we're coming to. God in heaven. That's who we're coming to. We need to be aware of that and be tuned into him like Mary was tuned into Jesus. Your kingdom be established. Your will be done. And then, knowing whose presence we have come into, having been tuned to him, we're invited to open ourselves to him. Your kingdom be established, your will be done, and my needs be met. For life for my body, which is daily bread. For life for my spirit, which comes through forgiveness. And for life for my soul, protection against the evil one. And having shared this with his disciples, Jesus assures his disciples that God is there for them. We give to our friends because they are bold enough to ask, because they've gone to the trouble to seek us out, because they've knocked on our door. Do this with God. He will respond. We, in spite of who we are, know how to give good gifts to our children. So how much more will God give to the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The necessary thing. I wrestled with this quite a bit. June gets up every morning before I get out of bed, and if I get out of bed within the next 15 minutes, I'll find her in her chair in the living room reading in her Bible, sitting at the feet of Jesus, putting aside the distractions. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, putting aside all those responsibilities and obligations that wrestle with us and tug at us and keep us up at night and frustrate us sometimes, and when we wrestle with them, the worlds that we get so caught up in, Do not worry about them or become frustrated about them or get upset about them, whether it's hosting or ministry or service. All of those things that have been laid on our plate, all those things that need to be done, all those T's to cross and those I's to dot, all the things that are in our path. Being present with Jesus, sitting at his feet, is a desirable place to be, a place of quiet and of peace and of rest. So we ask this morning for the Lord to teach us how to pray. We come seeking that place with God. I took a little rabbit trail while I was preparing this message, and I thought of how many times do we read of Jesus going aside to pray. I thought of the 40 days in the wilderness. Thanks, Bill, for reminding us. He did that before he began his ministry. I think of the Sermon on the Mount, and it begins with these words. And seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountainside to pray. And later, when his disciples come to him, he sits down and begins to teach them. And then he talks about with them being in that place with God, away from the distractions and the many things. That good place to be. A place that serves our purpose and our coming into God's presence well. A place that is beneficial to our hearts and our spirits. A place that is pleasant. Got an email this past week from one of June's cousins. And sometimes we look at him and we shake our heads a little bit because we don't always know the page he's on. But this was an email that had a pathway to gospel songs. And I clicked on it, and my, oh my, was I ever blessed. I don't know how many of you people remember Jimmy Reeves. He sang some, in my generation, some really nice songs. And I just, what a fantastic, Pete, he rivals your voice. And yours too, Henry. Wonderful. And then he stands up and sings, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear. And I just tingle right now, remembering. And in the last 4 or 5 days, it's become one of those desirable places. One that satisfies the yearnings of the heart. One that brings hope in a chaotic world. It's a place we can look forward to being at. It's a place of welcome, where we are received gladly, where we're made to feel special, where we are heard, and where we are renewed. The message for today is a call to prayer and fasting. And this is a necessary thing.
prayer?
To come to such a place and to make the coming a constant thing. Fasting. Have any of you ever fasted? Don't raise your hands. Well, if you want to raise your hands, but I have a feeling this is a discipline that we as Christians don't often really understand. I like to think of fasting as consciously setting aside the many things and coming to sit at the feet of Jesus, choosing the better thing. Say that again. To consciously set aside the many things and to sit at the feet of Jesus to choose the better thing. And so some of us actually fast sometimes without really thinking that this is what we're doing. But that's consistent with the Gospel of Matthew when he says, and when you fast, don't disfigure yourself and do all of this and all of that so that people will notice that you're fasting. But when you fast, put aside these things and go focus on Jesus and be with Jesus and let that world be put aside. To make room in our daily living to sit at the feet of Jesus. I don't know where 2017 is going to take us. After all, we've got a Trump in the U.S., and some of us don't think we have much that's very true, though, in Canada. Okay, pardon the puns. And there are those people that aren't really excited about Notley. And hey, we're supposed to pray for these people anyway. And it's like Max Lucado says, doesn't really matter. Because we know that God is not going to let anything happen that he doesn't want to allow. We need to think on that. But while we do that, we need to find the place where we can put all of that aside and come and sit at the feet of Jesus. And so my call and my prayer today is that we learn how to do that. Amen.